We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I don't think they even believe in energy. So far, I haven't found any form of energy that's acceptable to them. I think they think the factories are just going to work without energy, don't they? They don't have a clue, these people, but I don't want to mention it yet. I want to wait a little bit longer, let them go a little bit further so they can't take it back. Because as a campaign, I like it. I like it very much.
They're full of crap.
All right, there's the president moving on, talking about the economy that's going gangbusters and new records being set in the stock market. And in the meantime, we have the, in the background, the impeachment sham that gets underway this morning at 10 for all of the world to see. So aren't we looking so forward to that? Hey, glad you're back with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We got the bottom line we're going to get to here in just a second. Just a quick reminder, mark it on your calendars. Have breakfast with us on the 22nd of this month on a Friday. We're going to be at the Walnut Grill down in Sunset Hills. But if you eat breakfast at any of their three locations that day, a portion of the proceeds are going to go to Help Responder Rescue, which has the back of our first responders. So we'll have the show live down there on Friday morning, the 22nd, and you can come and have breakfast, and a portion of all the money is going to help the good folks who are first responders. Wanted to get that out of the way. Now let's get to the bottom line.
Here's the bottom line.
Here's the bottom line.
We need to get to the bottom of this.
Get to the bottom of this.
We've got to get to the bottom of this.
The bottom line on the Mark Cox Show.
That's the only way we're going to get to the bottom.
That's the bottom line.
Truth. You can't handle the truth.
Whether you love me or hate me, you got to vote for me.
Aha, Jeff, did you hear that?
I heard it.
Jeff Smith, former Missouri senator, in studio with us right now. He came in here loaded for bear. He wanted to come into the studio to talk about this persecution that's going to take place on television here at about 9 o'clock. Oh, the impeachment inquiry. I mean, I'm sorry.
It's like, I don't know what to do with that.
Look, I mean, yes, I think it's hard to call it a persecution because really, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to argue against this, Mark. Nancy Pelosi kind of had to be dragged kicking and screaming to this point. She delayed as long as she could until she and half of America found the evidence so incontrovertible that she felt like she had to move forward. She was really paying attention to the 40 or so Democratic members in swing districts who she knew would be very reluctant to go forward. And so she held the tide as long as she could.
She was squeezed, and you know it. And she's one of the more extreme members of her party, but she didn't hold a candle to Tlaib and Omar and all of these crazies who were screaming for impeachment. She wasn't brought into this kicking and screaming. She knew that it was political suicide. And just like Lindsey Graham said, I know he's one of your favorite senators, just like he said, there's no judicial hearing in America where only the prosecutor gets to present witnesses.
And that's why Republicans, 45 Republicans, had access during the whole pre-impeachment process. They were on those committees, had a chance to ask questions. Today, Republicans will get 45 minutes in rebuttal, just as Democrats get 45 minutes. And look, remember, this stage, this is like the charging stage. This is not the trial. The Senate conducts the trial. Mitch McConnell will be in control of all of that. But if this is analogous to our criminal justice system,
you
this
can't,
is the stage
you can't call this which, the grand jury.
At which no. The prosecution is deciding whether or not to make a formal charge.
Now, I know you were a college professor for a while, and were you a law professor?
I was a political science professor.
I thought so. So I wasn't. I don't have a law degree either. But I'll guarantee you, if you assign me to prosecute a case, and the other side's not allowed to call witnesses, I'm going to win. That's what's going on here.
That is not what's going on here. The Republicans are going to have 45 minutes after the Democrats get their 45 minutes to ask questions and to make to try to punch holes in anything the Democrats say. Look, the Republicans have been pounding the pavement, saying, "Hey, we want to get this out in the light." Now you've got it out in the light, and they'll have their chance to poke holes in the argument. But the fact is, over the last several days, we've seen Republicans back away from the, you know, a month ago it was, there was no quid pro quo, there was no quid pro quo. Well, now about 15 witnesses, many of whom Donald Trump himself appointed, are going to stand up there and say, yes, there was a quid pro quo. There was an attempt led by the president of the United States, implemented by his, you know, his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, outside of the process to extort a foreign leader on behalf of his own political interests.
The sound you hear is the transcript over here, if you want to read the transcript. Have you read the transcript?
I have read the transcript.
You've read the transcript? See, this is the transcript. It's all right here. There was no quid. Even the Democrats have stopped calling it quid pro quo.
I'd like you to do me a favor.
The Democrats are calling it extortion and bribery.
I'd like you to do me a favor, though. I'd like you to do me a favor, though, in exchange for, you know, for me giving you this military aid, and then multiple people are going to corroborate that that aid was held up until there was an investigation of the person the president saw to be his most
Zelensky
formidable
never,
domestic
despite
rival.
Despite all of this testimony, Zelensky never came out and held a news conference, as they allege he was told he had to, saying he was holding an investigation and he was looking into the Bidens. You know who they should have called, and the Democrats would have denied that one too, just like our caller said earlier. They should have called President Zelensky. He would have flown over and testified. He didn't feel any of this pressure. Every person, what they did but with the behind-door testimony is they pre-screened their witnesses. They found the ones they thought they could play to their advantage, and those are the eight they're going to call to the stand. They denied every single one of the Republicans' requests.
Yes.
Every single one.
And the absolute key witness is going to be a guy who gave $1 million. I feel like the Austin Powers movie. $1 billion. No, who gave $1 million to Donald Trump's election in 2016, Gordon Sondland. He will be the key witness here. How you could call him a never Trumper, you know, as Jeff, I think some Republicans are preparing to do, is beyond me.
Listen to the testimony today. Every single one of these people said, I assumed. Every single one of these people said, I believed. None of them said, the president told me to do this. None of them said, I heard the president say, we're not giving him this money. Nobody. All this is a bunch of people with an axe to grind against this president. That's what it is.
Taylor, Ambassador Taylor, who has served for decades under Republican and Democratic presidents, who was appointed by Donald Trump, it is going to be very difficult when people watch this decorated military hero say that he had an axe to grind. When Gordon Sondland, the million-dollar Trump donor, gets up there, which will happen sometime in the next few weeks, I think it will be very tough to make the case that this guy had an axe to grind. These are reluctant witnesses. These are people who did not want to be here and have their life disrupted in this way. But they are going to go on there, and if they're smart, tell the truth after they swear an oath, and take it from me, they shouldn't say anything but the truth.
Back up, you creep. Get away from me.
Why don't you guys just go draft Hillary Clinton and try to beat him at the box office?
God, what about that comment yesterday from Hillary?
Oh,
saying,
I know many, 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 many people. The voices she's hearing when she takes walks in the woods.
Many, 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 many people who presumably also have the same last name as her. Because I mean, as I think I said to you a few weeks ago, there hasn't been one news cycle over the last 3 years that Hillary Clinton has dominated that's been good for the Democratic Party, except for the one where she was off hiking in the woods in Chappaqua, you know, and somebody bumped into her. The American people are not thirsting for a Hillary Clinton. And frankly, I don't think the Democratic primary voters are thirsting for Michael Bloomberg or Deval Patrick or any number of other Democrats that are going to try to come in and be the savior. That's not what you hear when you talk to Democrats in the early states. They're hearing what I hear from my contacts in those states. Hey, there's a lot of good candidates out here, and you know we're having a tough time deciding, but we like these two or three.
So it's always great to end the segment on something we can agree on, like Hillary Clinton. Jeff, thanks for coming in.
It's always great to see you, Mark.
Yeah, you bet. Jeff Smith, former Missouri senator, in here with us this morning. Let's get to a break. We'll get to your phone calls. I've got Lieutenant Colonel Alan West coming up here in just a couple minutes at about 8:35. We'll get to Alan West.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
I want to say again what I've said from the beginning. This is a political witch hunt.
Thank you, Governor Greitens, for pointing that out. Is there any parallels with this situation?
Let's hope not.
An outsider attacked by the insiders. At least the president of the United States is getting support from his own party right now. But there's no doubt that it's a witch hunt, no matter what my friend Jeff Smith says. Well, here's an amazing story. Oh, by the way, before I get off that, go to our website if you get a chance today before this hearing starts in 30 minutes. Annie Fry's put up something up there that's really cool. She calls it Impeaches and Cream, a bingo game, right? So she's created some pages that you can print off, and every time you hit one of these keywords, you can put a game piece on the board until you get impeachment bingo. IG report, read the transcript, obstruction of justice, and right in the center of every one of them, there's a picture of Bernie Sanders. That's funny. Vice President, whistleblower, Burisma. Circus, rigged, Obama. That's funny. So here I am on here telling you that you should go refinance your house and cut down on high interest rate credit cards. There's a story in the Wall Street Journal today that I guess I'm just too conservative to understand how anybody could do this.
Okay.
Here's the title of it. A $45,000 loan for a $27,000 ride. More borrowers are going underwater on car loans. Now, here's what I don't understand. If I'm this guy that I'm about to read you this sentence about, he should be embarrassed to stick his head outside of his door. Why he let them use his name, I have no idea. Maybe it's a fake name. Listen to this genius. John Schricker took out a loan to buy a car in 2017. Then he took out another one, and then another one. In 2 years, the 40-year-old electrician signed up for 4 auto loans, each time trading in the previous car and rolling the unpaid balance into the next loan. He recently bought a $27,000 Jeep Cherokee with a $45,000 loan from Ally Financial. You can't fix stupid. I mean, honestly, what would make you think that's a good idea? The story is about, apparently this is a little bit of a trend. More and more people are trading in cars to buy new ones. In the first 9 months of 2019, 33% of people who traded in cars to buy new ones had negative equity in the vehicle, which means they had to roll over whatever they still owed into the loan for the next car.
Whoa.
I fail to understand that. Maybe it's one reason I haven't bought a new car in many years, because I learned a long time ago, when you drive it off the lot,
it just depreciated it by a lot. It tends
to depreciate it. That doesn't mean there aren't people out there that can afford a $800 a month car payment. That's what they want. Good for you. I just found that it didn't fit with how I wanted to spend my money. That's all. Yeah. I mean, it's just that simple. But according to this, 5 years ago, that number was only 28%. And a decade ago, 10 years ago, only 19% of people who traded in cars had negative equity. So I will never understand this. And the guy said, here's the problem. People are trading their vehicles in because they have to, in many cases, or the cars have problems, but they're not Rolls Royces. They're like Ford Escapes. I mean, it's not like they're spending extravagantly. A Jeep Cherokee is not the highest end car you can buy, certainly. No. By any
He's
stretch
just
of the imagination.
Really terrible mistakes with his choices there.
Yeah. Yeah.
This just serves as a reminder to me of like all the things that I want to make sure that my daughters know moving, about car loans, about interest, about, all of these things that I think get missed a lot. I mean, it'd be nice if some of these things were covered in school. I know they weren't covered for me, but like it's important. Budgeting.
Right.
Interest, taxes, all of it.
These are life lessons.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, you're never gonna get ahead on something like that. Ever gonna get ahead on something like that.
Unless if you keep making those decisions.
Unless you're the lady that bought one of the first ever Ford Mustangs before they were technically even on sale, and her husband just so happened to keep it in the garage and they stored stuff on it for 40 years, and he got it back out and restored it, and now it's worth like $250,000.
Oh, wow.
But that's the exception.
Yes.
And not the rule. How about that?
314-241-9797. We're going to talk to Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, one of my favorite guests here on the program, coming up.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I, as I say, never, never, never say never. And I will certainly tell you, I'm under enormous pressure from many, many, many people to think about it.
Soundbite of the day from Hillary Clinton. We had to get that from the BBC this morning. BBC Radio. She's under many, many, many voices she's heard in the woods outside Chappaqua, possibly belonging to Bill Clinton on a bullhorn, telling her to please get out of the house, do something with yourself.
And she never, 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 never says never, never.
Never. She will never, ever say never. Wasn't that a James Bond movie?
I will certainly tell you, I'm under enormous pressure from many, 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 many people to think about it.
One of my new favorite clips. Let me get to my guest. He is Colonel Alan West. Thrilled to get him on the radio with us this morning. Colonel West, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Mark? And it's too early to laugh that hard, okay?
Oh, boy. Every time I play a new soundbite from her, you know, whether it's no, I'm not over it, or all these people are pressuring her to run. You know, I just had a Democrat in the studio here with me a minute ago at the top of the hour, and even he wants to run the other way when he hears Hillary saying that these days.
Well, the amazing thing is it shows you just how bad things are for the Democrat Socialist Party. They are coming to the realization they don't have someone that is really able to step in and run for president of the United States of America. You know, you've got Michael Bloomberg has jumped in there. You're hearing about Deval Patrick. You're even hearing about Eric Holder. And now Hillary Clinton is – it was the Sean Connery James Bond
yes.
movie, Never Say Never Again. And so here she is. I just don't get it. There comes a point in time when you have to stop, you know, succumbing yourself to the delusion and start to realize that I lost. I lost twice. I lost badly. And I should just go away. But you're right. It's probably Bill Clinton saying, you know, please get out of the house. Please get out
no,
of the house.
No, I'm not over it.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly probably who it is. You know, speaking of which, and I said this also to my guest earlier, Colonel West, why not just beat Donald Trump when you go to the ballot box in November? Why this effort?
Can't. Because they can't, Mark. They don't have any policies that will enable them to defeat Donald Trump. And so the clown car show is going to show up in Capitol Hill today, and these hearings that are just a sham. It's just the Adam Schiff show. And talk about a person that has a problem with truthfulness. I mean, he is going to be heading up an impeachment inquiry hearing. I don't know what it's called today, but as Al Green, the congressional representative down in the Houston area, said, we've got to impeach him because we can't wait until November 2020. And that's what they're coming to the realization about.
Well, and they probably should be a little concerned. Joe Biden, you know, every time he's on stage, it's another gaffe. And even though he's leading in the polls, you can't help but think that's a fairly tepid level of support that just has so happens to be more than the tepid support everyone else has in the party right now.
Well, you're absolutely right, and you're spot on in that assessment. And the other thing you have to come to realize is that the Democrat Party is now in an untenable position. They are in a very, very tight corner because their base is a far-left base. Their base is controlled by, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her girl Suicide Squad, along with Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren. They don't want someone that is, quote unquote, a moderate such as a Joe Biden. So if it's Joe Biden, then the far left progressive socialist is going to stay at home.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. if it's a nominee such as Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, then the moderate, you know, I guess you would call them normal Democrats will stay at home. So they really don't have anywhere to go. And this is a problem of their own making.
Yeah, very much so. They're sniping at each other over, you know, who could spend the most without raising taxes. I mean, it's like, and I had a story before we got you on the air here the Wall Street Journal has a story today about somebody who kept buying new cars and rolling over the excess amount of cash they still owed on the previous car until they had a $45,000 loan on a $27,000 vehicle. I don't, that to me, that evades common sense. And I don't know why anybody on the left wouldn't look at the proposals of a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren and not have warning signs going off in front of their face.
Because for whatever reason, they still believe that centralized economic planning works. They still believe that the policy of wealth redistribution works. They still believe that making everyone equal, you know, an economy that works for everyone. You know, we all have different talents. We all have different skills and abilities. I wish that I could have been born 6'2", 6'3", and run fast on a football field or be able to drain a three-pointer. But I have my own talents based upon, you know, the fact that I'm only 5'9". But yet, for the progressive socialist left, they want everyone to be on the same, you know, sheet of music, on the same level. That's social egalitarianism. But, you know, you look at Venezuela and all the things that have gone wrong there, but they can't see that. They really cannot see that. And they just avoid it. They don't talk about it. They don't address it. And for some of them, they still believe that that's a symbol of utopia where a political elite class lives well while everyone else is eating out of garbage cans.
Yeah, well, that's that. Boy, that's the truth. I know that you're back in Texas. You've even got a book out called Hold Texas, Hold the Nation. And a big focus for everybody who lives down there is immigration these days. This whole DACA blow up yesterday, Colonel West, fascinates me that there are people in this country who don't think this president has the right to rescind an executive order from the last president. The fact that this even has to go to the Supreme Court is stunning to me.
Well, it's foolish, and it shows that even adults don't understand civics here in the United States of America, because an executive order is just an edict from the previous president. And, you know, when that president is gone, if there's not a president that agrees with that executive order, then they can rescind that executive order. This is not something that is law. President Obama was not an emperor. President Obama did not sit around and say, so let it be written, so let it be done. He did not write anything cast into stone. So his executive orders, and think about it, the Paris Climate Accord, that was something that was done unilaterally, executive action. It was not a treaty passed through our Senate, which is part of our way of our rule of law and how we are supposed to have the checks and balances there. That, and along with the Iranian nuclear agreement, that was never something that was done by treaty. So we need to have a lesson on civics and understand that Barack Obama did not make law. The only people that can make law is that comes through the House and the Senate, and then the president can sign it into law once it's been passed by the representatives of the people.
Colonel West, let me wish you a belated happy Veterans Day, and thank you for your service to our country.
My pleasure, and it's always an honor to serve this great nation.
Well, you know, I watched Fox and Friends on Monday morning, and they had a group of veterans who were immigrants who came here and served in our military, and they had a naturalization ceremony on the plaza outside of Fox. And it was so touching to watch these folks. They interviewed them afterwards. Many of them had tears running down their face, realizing how lucky they were to become American citizens, thankful for the opportunities that they have here. And yet we have a broken immigration system in this country that nobody will address.
And that's what we want. What you saw on the plaza there at Fox News, we want people to knock on the door and come through the front door. We invite people to come here and be a part of this incredible American dream and our way of life. What we don't want are people that disrespect our laws and our rule of law and our national sovereignty and come in through the back door. And then, of course, they become a burden on our society. And that's something that the progressive socialist left wants to leverage against us. You know, you look at California, what's happening there, and all these other places, sanctuary states, sanctuary cities. But here in Texas, we got a big problem, Mark, in that we are the number one state in the United States of America for human and sex trafficking. And you have these people that want to have open borders. You have people that don't want to decriminalize illegally crossing our border. This is the problem that we have. This is a problem that is, you know, I think that everyone should be able to come together and say, we have to seal our borders. We have to protect, you know, our children and these young ones that are coming here, and especially this sex trafficking of young boys is really something that is unnerving. I've been reading a lot about that. So, again, there are many reasons why we should be securing our borders. Number one, it's part of our rule of law, our sovereignty as a nation, but also it protects people from very dangerous actors. And look what the drug cartels are doing along the border, and they are freely now trying to operate on this side of the border as well.
Well, Colonel West, listen, in the immortal words of Bill Cunningham, you're a great American. I appreciate having you on.
Yeah. Thank you. Always a pleasure, Mark. We'll chat later.
You bet. I appreciate that. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, at Alan West on Twitter there, if you want to follow him. TheOldSchoolPatriot.com is his website, and he is in the running to head up the Republican Party down there in Texas. That's what he's doing these days.
I think I'll serve as Secretary of State as my last public position, and then probably go back to advocacy work, particularly on behalf of women and children. I will certainly tell you I'm under enormous pressure from many, 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 many people to think about it.
Just to sort of comparing and contrasting from 2010 to now, after that crushing defeat at the hands of Donald J. Trump, she can't stand it.
No.
She can't stand it.
But she's convinced herself that many, 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 many,
many, many, many, many, many, many, many, many people.
I will certainly tell you I'm under enormous pressure from many, 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 many people to think about it.
particularly Bill Clinton. Don't you think? I think probably Bill Clinton is the one who's number one on the top of that list.
Can you please find something to do?
Would you please? He even called me the other day. Did you know that, Carl?
I did not.
He did.
Hey, I can't talk real loud because Hillary's in the next room. She won't let me be on the phone. I don't know why. Anyway, listen, you got to ease up on me. You got to ease up on Hill. She listens to the Mark Cox Morning Show, and she keeps throwing stuff all around the room like a crazy woman. She burned down our little house. I don't know if you heard about it. It's all because of you. Good going. All my good cigars were in that house. You're a real piece of...
End of message.
Wow.
He got cut off right at the end.
Sorry, I was just getting good.
I don't understand that. But anyway, I guess I need to quit talking about Hillary, don't you think?
Yes.
Thank you. Because she doesn't appreciate me the way you do, Carl.
I appreciate it.
I kept my cool, aided by a lifetime of dealing with difficult men trying to throw me off.
Buildings. Anyway.
Mark, take it easy on her.
You see the Colin Kaepernick story? I read this. I forgot to get to this earlier. I had it on my stack of papers over here that I wanted to get to. So apparently, all the headlines are Colin Kaepernick will work out for all NFL teams again. But that's not exactly how this is going down. Okay. No individual NFL team called him up and said, hey, we need a backup quarterback. Will you come and work out
for us? He just wants to get back in football shape or what?
Well, no. The NFL informed all 32 teams it will stage a private workout for him. Remember, he sued them, and I think they came to some sort of an agreement to satisfy him that they would hold some sort of an open workout that all the teams could come and evaluate him again. He claims he's been working out 5 days a week for 3 years, and he's in as good a shape today as he was the last time he played in 2016.
Well, good luck.
Stan Kroenke, as much as St. Louisans dislike the guy, is a living, breathing example that people in the NFL will do anything to put butts in the seats. Anything. He'll alienate an entire city in St. Louis by ripping up the team and moving them to L.A. because he thinks more people will pay to see his team out there and he'll make more revenue there. Mm. They'll do anything to win. You could be green, purple, blue, black, white. It doesn't matter what your skin color. What doesn't matter? If you're good enough to play in the NFL, somebody will put a ball in your hands.
Yep.
Because they want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaepernick is just wants to use the excuse that it's because of his politics that he's not playing. He might as well try out for the XFL. What are we calling them? The Battle Hawks?
The Battle Hawks.
Maybe he could play for the Battle Hawks. It's a thought. Hey, by the way, live coverage of the impeachment sham starting at 9. Fox News Radio, Annie Fry will be anchoring it once they take a break for her show, noon to 3. Quick reminder, Walnut Grill, they're going to host a fundraiser for first responders Friday the 22nd. We'll take the show live there, eat at any of the three locations. Part of the proceeds will all go to help first responders. Thank you to them, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.